is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball gonna bounce down, it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a plan! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It is 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes, your Rowdies Talk Radio, your Green and Gold Gospel, the, how are we going to get there this week? Live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves and brought to you tonight by executive producer Randy Gainforth. Thank you, Randy. I guess I got to introduce you first, too. And looking at me from the other side of a webcam, a man who has never, I don't even know what I'm going to say. Just, Steven, how you doing?
Yeah, it's okay. I don't matter.
There's so much crap going on tonight, I can't keep track of any of it.
This is true. But I don't need no introduction. I'm not worthy.
So I ran into last week's producer, Jeff, at the game. We were out there getting some beverages, or as I like to say, supporting local youth soccer, because it was a fundraiser for the booth was a fundraiser for one of the local teams down here, and he's reserved the right to deliver his content at some point in the future. I told him for this week, but Randy has more than made up for it. I'm going to say he gave us a list of some things that he would like us to talk about. So we'll get to those later. Yeah, there's like three or four points in there that we're gonna hit up.
That's good, because the show notes are pretty thin this week.
Well,
so it's a lot of angry rambling at this point.
Yeah, and there's so much that like doesn't matter. Like the tables barely even matter at this point. I cut the whole points per game table out, and honestly, I have the updated one, but I'm just gonna look at the live table on the USL website anyway, and there's so much that just doesn't matter going into this weekend.
Yeah,
but then there's so much that does.
It's the USL Eastern Conference. Nothing matters anymore.
Enjoy Arby's.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get into it. Final home game of the regular season, because there will be a home playoff game. I promise, if not, you can, Steven will refund your money.
We have someone to blame. Thank you for stepping up and committing seppuku. I appreciate that.
That means
I don't have to do it.
I stepped up and pointed the sword at you. It's all you will refund next year's season tickets if we do not get a home playoff game. I have that in writing. It looks like my writing, but it's still in writing.
Oh, okay.
So last Saturday, huge game, huge implications for both teams. Fighting to get one of those top four spots. I think Indy's pretty much was a certainty anyway, based on who they're playing right now. And we're going to keep an eye and update some of these games as we go along. But the Rowdies and Indy 11, it turned into Rowdies and Indy 1-1. Steven, what happened?
I mean, it was a pretty typical Rowdies-Indy game, wasn't it? I mean, that's pretty much par for the course at this point for what this matchup looks like, right? I mean, it's a draw, right? Because that's what these two teams have basically done every week. I mean, let's be real. No, I So we had a chance to run in. We got a chance to talk to Scott Stewart, who does the Steal Some Time pod with Kelsey. And this was the biggest takeaway for me coming out of that game. There's absolutely no reason we didn't win that game. We should have won the game like 4-1 easily.
Gravity distortions around the goal?
It just, I mean, we could go into Cthulhu references. We could do all sorts of things at this point to try and explain what happened. But it just, that game like logically didn't make sense. I don't know how. When we watch, and I've seen the game now twice just to see like just how well we played. Because my God, we played amazing. We had time and opportunity after opportunity. And just, I don't know how we didn't score some of those. There's at least four that we left on the table that honestly should have just been. It was easier to finish the shot than it was to miss the goal.
Right.
On at least four occasions. I don't know how it didn't happen. I mean, not even the Leo injury slowed us down. Because Taku stepped in and did fantastic. He did great by all accounts.
Right.
Looking at the statistics of his performance, looking at his positioning during the, he looked fine. Malik playing on the left side, he looked fine too. That is just absolutely ridiculous that we didn't get a win, because we did everything we needed to get that result.
Can I throw some stats at you and tell me if you just were going off these stats, what you would have assumed?
By all means, fire away.
All right. Possession. Rowdies, 60.7 to 39.3% for Indy. Now, going off the way the season's gone so far, the more possession is usually hasn't been a good sign for the Rowdies, but nearly 61% possession. You feel like you've got a chance to make some things happen. No offsides. Seven corners. I got to get to the really good one here. 24 shots. Now, let's counterbalance that. Six on target. So 75% of the shots were not on frame. 11 of those were blocked. Eight shots outside the box. A third of the total shots from outside. And then 16 shots from up close. If you read those stats, it feels like a better than 50-50 chance that the Rowdies win that game.
Yeah.
But we don't even get a goal from the run of play.
Yeah. And it's mind-boggling, too, because we played a great game against a great team. Because let's be real, Indy's a fantastic team. There's a reason why they are in a top four position right now. They've been good all year. They've been really, really, really good. I don't know how we didn't put in three, because we played well enough to do it, undoubtedly. And I just, it's crazy to me. Now, quickly on the goal allowed, it was, what did we talk about last week? What are they going to do? If they're going to sit back and they're going to counter, you know, because you don't need to press forward. You don't need to do a counter press. You can just sit back and you can just let the play happen in front of you. So what happened? That's what they did. And guess what happens? We have a poor turnover in midfield. Ball gets away from Doherty. He's not able to connect with, I think it was like Gonzotti or Taku that was trying to slide back into challenging a ball. But Indy beats us to it. And guess what happens? Going the other way on that quick transition, it's literally a 4-on-4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not winning those battles very often. I'm sorry. Like, you could be the best defense in the world. You're not going to very commonly win a 4-on-4 break, like a fast break. It's just not going to happen very often. And so, you know, Dane Kelly finishes a goal, because that's what Dane Kelly does, because he's historically been one of the best players in lower division history, quite frankly, in this country. So that was pretty standard. That was a pretty run-of-the-mill type play that we've come to expect that the Rowdies are going to give up maybe once a game. That's pretty common at this point, because of the fact that we press forward almost arguably too high. That's what we talked about last week. It was one of the topics of conversation, was what was the transition between the early part of the season and the late part of the season. And it comes down to what kind of defensive effort or defensive priority you're putting on the field. We stopped playing back. You look at that play. Our four roughly like offensive players are all up the field sitting on the back line. Our like five or six defensive players are all sitting on our back line, and there's nobody in the middle on that play. And that is exactly what has been killing us for the second half of this season. Quick transition. There's nobody in the midfield because everybody's playing too far forward. And as a result, you're getting outnumbered in the midfield in a transition. It's causing easy passing opportunities for a quick counterattack and a quick, easy goal. And that's the difference right now. That's the difference between the early part of the year and the latter part of the year. So that's been kind of standard. I still don't know how we didn't win that game, even with that. Because that was really like the only real great chance they even had in that game was that one opportunity. And they managed to finish it, and we have a good four or five that should have gone in, at least one of those extra ones besides the PK. I'm a little speechless. I'm a little dumbfounded by, like, because there's no rhyme or reason why we didn't win except for just really bad luck finishing where we weren't putting away sitters. How do you explain that? I mean, we are one of the highest scoring teams in the league.
Still going into tonight with the highest goal differential. I think by one goal, still the one goal over edge over New York.
But I think Nashville's up to 30 now. But either way, either way,
they don't count. They're not in the league next year.
I just
they're at 30. Yeah,
I just don't. It really is bewildering, like how we didn't do it, because every opportunity we had was really good, and we're gonna have to find a way to finish those when playoffs come in 2 weeks.
Yep,
we're gonna have to. There's no getting around that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no well things will. No, you gotta finish those if you want to make a run in the playoffs. You gotta finish that, at least one, maybe two. Probably three, if we're being honest. But I mean, let me throw another stat, right? So we had 26 shots in that game, okay? You know how many of those came in the last 20 minutes plus stoppage? Dos.
Yeah, I was just saying, I remember seeing, because I spent a little bit of the second half out on the concourse having a beverage with Scott. That was my thing all night. I was just having beverages with people, and they put a graphic up on the screen at that point, and I think it may have been right after Indy scored that it was something. The shots was like 20-1 for the Rowdies, and of course the game was 1-1 at that point.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how many shots we were averaging, a shot like every 3 minutes going into that point of the game, and then you have two shots for the last 20 plus stoppage, like 23 if you want to call it that. That's unbelievable to me. What a swing of numbers there to not get goals in the most important part of the game in a 1-1 draw when you're fighting for a home playoff game, home soil, and just we looked completely flat at the end of that game. Completely flat. We weren't producing a lot of decent opportunities. If you watch the last 20 minutes, that's a snooze fest.
Yeah.
There's like nothing there.
Well, and as soon as Indy levels, I mean, it's just bunker and protect. They were happy to get out of that game with a draw. They were fine with that, knowing that we needed the win to have any chance of passing them up. So as soon as the scores level, it just became an exercise in hit and hope at that point almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, like I said, I can't be critical of the performance overall.
Yeah. The result,
there's really,
the performance,
there's
not really.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
it's just, it's little tidbits. It's sections of the games. It's individual moments. I mean, you're going to have defensive lapses. It's really, really hard to get shutouts. I'm okay with allowing one goal against a team like Indy. That's fine. Just score more than one.
Yeah.
How about this? How about this? Can we make an actual, like, shot on goal result from a corner kick for once?
If we can get somebody at the far post?
Because that doesn't happen very often. like it's one thing to get to have the ball go in on a corner kick, and then there's like it falls into the ground, and then there's like a scrum for it or something like that.
Right.
What I want to see is one of our guys get a freaking head on the ball and actually put it on frame.
I'd be okay with a tribute to the Joe Cole bicycle kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be happy with anything at this point, let's be honest.
I want one header. I want one header straight off of a corner kick on frame. That's all. Just one. Because it really hasn't happened much this year.
Do it for Steven, you guys.
There you go, right? Against Hartford. Just do it against Hartford.
God, that'd be fantastic. Can we talk about a couple good things at least?
Sure.
The crowd.
Yes.
That was a fun crowd. Biggest crowd of the season. What crowd. It was 500 more than the season opener. Mm-hmm. Which was billed as sold out, but this game somehow never was, if I remember correctly. Missed it somehow. But yeah, that was a fun crowd. And that's, you know, we've had chances like that before where you've had a big crowd in there and you know, it's been a 0-0 draw, or it's been a game where we give up a late goal and lose. And that's not something that encourages the part-timers, the casuals, the new folks to return afterwards. But hold
okay.
on.
I breaking
so,
news.
So we have some webcam action. I can see Steven reacting here.
Birmingham in the 11th minute has taken a 1-0 lead against New York Red Bulls.
All right, so there are a couple games going on right now that I am trying to avoid paying close attention to, despite the fact that I have the live table open and the match center over here too as well.
I'm legitimately watching the game right now at this point.
games that are going to have a big impact on where the Rowdies can possibly end up. Charleston right now, hold on, this page is the Match Center page still hasn't caught up with it yet. Charleston and Memphis are in the 56th minute on here, so probably several minutes later. Charleston leading 1-0. That puts Charleston right now into the 9th position. St. Louis is 10th. Birmingham is out until this catches up, because then, oh, there it goes. Birmingham is now in 9th place, 43 points, level with Charleston. St. Louis is currently out of the playoffs right now. Birmingham and Charleston are both in at this point in time. Birmingham's in 9th place on the overall wins tiebreaker. Charleston cannot catch them on that. They have a much better goal difference, but it's not going to matter because they cannot catch them on the wins. If these results hold, St. Louis needs a win on the weekend. I assume that's when their game is, in order to get back into the playoff spots, which that would then push push Charleston out. We're keeping an eye on that one. Indy and Swope Park are in the second half, scoreless draw. We'd like to see a Swope Park victory here. I don't think there's a chance of that happening. Even with a 0-0 draw, Indy gets to 61 points. We could catch them on points with a win over Hartford on Saturday, but we could not pass them because they would have a two-game advantage in the wins tiebreaker, despite our 11-goal better goal difference. And I don't make this sound like I think the wins is a better tiebreaker, first tiebreaker, than goal difference anyway, especially in this league when you compare the disparity of talent. But yeah, we want Birmingham to win. Birmingham has a lot to play for. They're trying to clinch a playoff spot. This will go a long way to doing it. If New York loses,
then all we need is a draw or a win, baby.
New York still has one more game.
Well, no, but if New York loses tonight,
but
then
a draw
we got a point,
a draw
we
puts
a point advantage against them.
Yeah, but if we draw Hartford on the weekend, that gives us only 2 points ahead of New York, and they still have one game.
Well, that's true. Get a win. Get a win against Hartford. If New York loses tonight, get a win versus Hartford, and we're pretty much set.
No matter what happens tonight, we still have to beat Hartford. Everything starts with us beating
Hartford.
Well,
yeah, still, you need a W this weekend. If you want to get a home game in 2 weeks, or a week and a half, I guess, in this case, you got to get a – you have to at least beat Hartford. You have to. There's no other way around it.
So the plus side for us, the things working kind of in our favor, hopefully, New York's last two games tonight included are on the road. New York is not a good road team.
And they're playing really, really sloppy. There's no doubt about it right now. It's crazy just how sloppy that team has gotten over the last couple of weeks.
And to be honest, looking at the likely scenarios, and I don't have like specific odds of what's more likely than another, it feels more likely that Indy gets a win or a draw with Swope and then takes the third spot, which means if we could finish right now anywhere between third and sixth. I think fourth or fifth is the most likely, which means either way we play New York. Louisville still has a chance to move up.
Yeah, at this point, it's fair to say the gods have spoken and the odds are really strong we're going to be playing.
Yeah, it just matters about who's hosting and who isn't. And not only do we want the home playoff game so that we can go to Al Lang at least one more time, not only do we want the home playoff game because it means New York would have to come here and we would infinitely prefer that, we also want a home playoff game. And I thought of this the other day. I was seeing some tweets going by. And I know Patrick's out there from Louisville listening right now. We want a home playoff game because that means we would not have to go to Slugger in the playoffs. There's still a chance that that Louisville could pass both us and New York by, depending on how results break down between tonight and the weekend and their result. We don't want that. We don't want Louisville sneaking into that fourth place spot. If for no other reason, then I don't want to go to Slugger.
Yeah. I oh my god,
where Louisville is unbeaten in the playoffs. So number one, because their record there is so good. Number two, because I want to play on a good surface.
Plus, hosting the Red Bulls on a playoff game, that would be perfect. That would be absolutely perfect. What a matchup that would be. Not just for footballing, right? Because I mean, again, the game itself would be fun. Both teams play wide open, right?
Yeah.
That game would be amazing just for the fact that we hate each other.
Yeah. I hate we've always said, the two teams or the B teams aren't going to be the rivals. I don't want to call them a rival, but God, do I hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. I
don't want to call it a rivalry, but and not in the way that, I forget what his name was, Vince Vaughn's character in Anchorman. Not in the way that he hated Ron Burgundy, but damn it, did he respect him? I just hate him. I don't even want to admit even grudging respect. Hate him.
I hate him because I respect him so much. I think that's my angle on that against Wolniak, for instance.
I just want him, especially after the diving crap from last year.
I hate him because I respect him.
I hate him because I hate him.
I hate him because he's so good, damn it.
Like, I would, if I had to pick the Red Bulls out of the bear pit at the San Diego Zoo, I'm dropping them back in. Eat up bears.
Well,
hate them. All right, so we will probably periodically break in with results updates as they warrant from those three games. The first two are about a half hour away from ending.
Let's hear what it is. Indy's tied 1-1. Yeah,
is it 1-1? Both teams have scored now.
Looking like it,
because it was like 5 minutes ago. It was 0-0 when I looked at the.
Yeah, I'm looking at a 1-1 result right now.
Well, oh, yeah. Okay.
Hot damn.
Hey, if Swope Park scored one, they can score a couple more. I'm okay with that.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if Indy draws this game? Holy crap. Of course, it doesn't matter, but.
No, Indy's happy with a draw. They're more than content to play for that.
That's
draw.
True. They need a draw. Yeah, imagine if they lose. Could you imagine if they drop this game? Now, that would cause some chaos.
Yeah. We'd have anarchy in the East. Which is not necessarily a bad thing. A little anarchy now and then is a good thing.
Anarchy in the East is what everything... That's life.
It's migrated from the UK.
Yeah.
All right. So back to the crowd. It was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
We had a blast tailgating early. Some of the Indy fans came by. There were a group that came around. We served them some apparently Indy delicacy of pork tenderloin sandwiches. With Ian and the Skyway group were frying up out there. It was interesting. I will say that. I don't think Dan would have liked it. It was interesting. What else? There was something else I was thinking of. Like, oh, this is just... I get... Other than the final result not being as good as we had hoped for, I had a great time. The Mobs TIFO was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, George, Laura, and the whole gang are amazing, as always. That whole thing is just always incredible.
Like, even if we had connections with a print shop that could print them for a less expensive price, I'd rather see that, because it was so good.
Let's be real. We do them better than a print shop. That's how good our painting skills are.
I mean, most anyone does, I'd just say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But no, it was a great... That game was a great advertisement for the Rowdies, which is funny because we're saying that after basically we've played now officially 9 full regular seasons at Al Lang.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that, like, it still frustrates the heck out of me that we can't, you know, the crowds aren't bigger on a weekly basis. But, you know, here it is, another situation, another good advertisement for the team of what it is to be at this environment. And, you know, hopefully... I mean, again, especially with the fact that they're rearranging the seating arrangements for next year. Again, if you have a handful of people that was their first game they've ever been to or whatnot, which I know that there were, I know for a fact there were a couple of people that was, again, it's been 9 seasons at Al Lang and there are still people going there for the first time. And I just don't get it. But there are people that still are like, this is my first game. They sat in the Mob and they're like, that was amazing. That was fantastic. And they're like, I'm going to go and make sure that I'm buying season tickets for next season. And that's all you can hope for. That's, you know, when you've got a game like this where you and I both know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, that a lot of those tickets were probably giveaways.
Oh, yeah.
Free or
the two, you know, free with the season ticket renewals. And the,
yeah, if you had season tickets, then they offered them, you know, they offered you another couple seats to bring some friends along as a fan appreciation night, I think is what it officially was, you know. And that's the whole point for those types of fan appreciation nights is to get, it's an advertisement. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And I thought that worked out about as well as it's going to be. And again, with the seating arrangement that's going to change next year, you know, those people, they get a taste of it, a couple of newbies, and then they come back next year and it's going to be a little different and a little bit more intimate next year and not quite so spread out. And who knows, maybe things might turn up a little bit better.
So,
you know,
I had
a little wait to see a little bit, but I'm as encouraged by it.
I had a dad and his like teenage high school age son sitting in front of me when I was down in my seats in the first half. And if you're sitting like next to me or in front of me, that pretty much guarantees that you haven't been to a game before, because those seats are generally like just open for whoever comes in and comes in. No one has those as season tickets that I know of. Mm-hmm. And it was like they weren't completely familiar with the entire like stadium experience, the team, whatever that. But they knew that, hey, the team's in the playoffs, right? Yeah, yeah, we're in the playoffs trying to make sure we get a home game. And the kid was like, yeah, the third place right now. I was like, well, we're trying to get there. We'll see what happens tonight. Like, somewhat of the awareness is there, more, you know, more than you would get from like a radio commercial or a you know, reading a newspaper article. Like they've done a little bit of research. So there is the interest out there. And one of the things that we've had these opportunities before where you have some of these larger crowds and they get sent home with a 0-0 draw or a loss or something, and it's like, that's not encouraging. But even if you look at some of these guys as just being kind of like neutrals because it's their first game, they haven't like fully adopted the team, like you said, it's a great advertisement, but it doesn't need to be an advertisement for like next year. This should be an advertisement for, hey, buy tickets for the playoffs, which would be a thing you could do if they were selling tickets for the playoffs, which something I was thinking of kind of before it and also during the game. When the Rays, you know, second round of the playoffs and they tied up the series with Houston, I start getting emails from the Rays about, hey, let you get your name in, get your money in for ALCS tickets, potential ALCS tickets in case we advance to the next round. We've already locked up a playoff spot for a while now, and there's been a very good chance of getting a home game. How come they're not doing the same thing with the Rowdies? Hey, get your name in. If nothing else, you're generating some interest by putting it out there. Hey, there's a good chance we're going to get a home game. Get your money in so you can get a playoff ticket.
I would argue there's actually like multiple reasons why they haven't done that, and actually some pretty valid business reasons. For one thing, granted, we are owned by the Rays, and so I don't know on the ticketing angle of things how easy it would be for the existing infrastructure and software that we use and we operate with, if we don't get a home game and refunding all of that money. You know, with the Rays, if something had happened at the end of the year and suddenly they didn't get to host a game, or they got knocked out in that one game wild card playoff, their system is set up a lot easier to probably refund those ticket sales. I would imagine, compared to what the Rowdy's existing structure is. Now, granted, I know we used Ticketmaster as well, but still, you know, it's still a club that's never had to do that before, compared to a team that, you know, it's MLB. How many teams have that happen every year? You know, it's pretty common over on that angle of things. Number two, compare average attendance compared to what you were aiming for the need to sell tickets early. The Tampa Bay Rays averaged, what, something like 12,000 fans a game this year, I think. They needed to sell three times that number of tickets to get a decent and respectable crowd for their division series games. You need as much lead time as possible as an organization to try and get anywhere near that. And it worked. They got 30,000 ticket sales for those two games. So it worked. The Rowdies don't need to come anywhere near that. We averaged 4 for the season, I think, was like this, like 43 or something like that for the year, which was down for us, but which is really weird and unfortunate, but I'm just going to call it a part of the transition of ownership, and it is what it is for now, at least. But all we need to do is like not even double that. So we don't, like, there's no threat that we're going to have some, like, if all we have is a week of ticket sales, like, we're not going to sell 4,000 tickets or more. You're going to sell those numbers of tickets. That'll be fine. We have not had much of an issue selling tickets for playoff games anyways. So in that context, there's not much worry there in that sense. So I'd
at least want to promote it, because like you said, if we're averaging 4,500 and we had 78 on Saturday, so there's a good, you know, three plus thousand that may not even know that we've got a playoff spot, or that the playoffs are in 2 weeks and there could be a home game. At least put the info out there. Or, you know, like you mentioned about the ticketing system, the differences, which I think will be eliminated by next year. Like, the Rays could even just send one of those season ending emails. Hey, thanks for all the support. By the way, go check out the Rowdies. They've got a playoff game coming up soon.
I would expect a bit more synergy. A lot of things that we did this year, I'd expect more of that again next year, and things like that. But yeah, I think it makes sense that we didn't see that. Not to mention, you also don't want to have that kind of embarrassing moment. Like, it's one thing that everybody expects like one of the massive major league teams to do things like this, and then if they don't make the playoffs at the end, or they don't get to host a game, it's not that much of an egg on face moment. You know, it is what it is. Okay, whatever. Move on.
It's not really a major difference maker, but Indy has taken a 2-1 lead.
Oh, darn it. That's too bad.
It matters whether they're like 4 points ahead or 3 points ahead or whatever, or you know, 6 or 8, whatever it is. The important one, like, we'd love to see Indy drop points. We need to see Red Bull drop points.
Yeah, the Red Bull game is way more important. That's why I'm watching it while we're here. But yeah, so,
There we go. About 20 minutes left in that one.
I think there's a legitimate argument that you don't want, like, the Rowdies don't want to suffer the embarrassment of, you know, trying to sell tickets, especially the fact that it's a smaller fan base and things like that. You don't want to sell tickets and then have to refund all of that. Go, oh, we didn't get a home playoff game. And
yeah. I would do. I went to a U.S. women's game. I guess it may have been the last Victory Tour, maybe the last. No, it was one of the She Believes Cups a couple of years ago. They played Brazil in West Central Florida. I don't want to name the specific city. And as we were leaving the stadium after that game ended, there were some West Central Florida Aztecs ticket representatives out there trying to pitch us on season tickets for the MK Dons of Florida. I thought that was pretty good. And, you know, we, of course, politely informed them that we already had tickets for the best team in Florida. We're good. You can go to somebody else. You know, I'm just a big fan of just finding every opportunity you can and taking it. And, you know, if it works out, if it doesn't, if it looks bad, or, you know, who cares? Just anything you could do to sell a ticket, regardless of whether you're packing the stadium to begin with, I feel like we should be trying to.
You know, I hear you.
You're just looking for a guy who maybe, you know, you pitch him a season ticket, you pitch him a playoff ticket, and, you know, they like the rep. They like, you know, something happens, and then they're buying season tickets.
In all fairness, for how glorious our club and our history is, we haven't had a lot of opportunities to practice selling playoff tickets the last 10 years.
This is true. This is going to be,
I'm just saying,
what, 4 times in 10 years?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just saying, we're not used to this.
I do want to point out,
there's hardly anybody in the front office that's even sold a playoff ticket. I'm just saying.
I would like to point out that the second time we made the playoffs in NASL, we won the whole damn thing.
This is true.
Second time making the playoffs in USL. You know,
If I'm anybody in USL, and, you know, I think, honestly, you can say that there's a legit shot for any of the top probably 6 teams to get into the championship game.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in the top 6 actually wants to play each other. Like, oh, that's a favorable matchup. Yeah, I think just about everybody in the top 6 can beat anybody in the top 6 on any given day. I don't think there's a tactical advantage anywhere. There's form advantages. Like,
yeah.
Like everybody would love to play Red Bulls right now at home. I mean, there's certainly advantages to form, and, like, Pittsburgh's been on a streak, but, I mean, I'm not scared of playing Pittsburgh. I'm not scared. I mean, Pittsburgh again versus, like, an Indy versus, like, a Louisville. On the field, the way everybody's, I don't feel any differently about any of those teams. To me, they'd all be about the same.
Right. It's just a matter of creating opportunities and finding a way
executing.
To cash them in. Yeah. All right, so moving on from this game, because we've got one more to look forward to. Other notable results, and I heard about this one Saturday night as going on. Louisville dropped 8 on Swope Park in their final game at Slugger Field.
That really is hilarious.
But did you hear the whole story of the game?
No.
The game finished 8-3, Louisville over Swope Park. Swope was up 3-0 at one point.
Oh, God.
8 unanswered. Like, that's a hell of a story right there. That's impressive.
One goal better than the Rowdies against San Antonio all those years ago.
Nashville, 2-0 over North Carolina, cementing their they're going to be first or second this year. Pittsburgh, 1-0 win in St. Louis. St. Louis's struggles continue. 11-13-9 on the year, a 0 goal difference. Lost 4 of their last 5, currently sitting right where I predicted, outside of the playoffs. Other matchups, of course, we're watching Indy and Swope tonight. We're watching Birmingham Red Bull 2 this weekend. Red Bull 2 goes to Loudoun, which Loudoun has quickly become, like, not a pushover. Like, they're out of it. They don't have a chance of winning, but getting into the playoffs, but they've won 3 straight.
Let me remind you of something. Several weeks ago,
starting with 2-0 over us, 4-3 over St. Louis, and beat Charleston 2-1.
So several weeks ago on one of our episodes, we had talked about what teams did you not want to play in the future and things of that nature. And I name drop Loudon as being a team that you would not want to play at the end of the year. And that's going to be a team that can very easily surprise some people. Now, I had thought it was because they were going to be signing Assad onto that team and that that team was going to be running roughshod. So it ended up not being Assad. It ended up being Nador. And the result's literally the exact same because he's been running roughshod. The guy scored, what, like 3 or 4 goals in his first like 2 or 3 games with the team? Like,
right.
He's basically unstoppable right now. But it's funny because it's literally the team that a couple of episodes ago I was saying that's a team you don't want to have to play right now. At the end of this year, they're gonna shock some people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
because I mean,
felt
look,
pretty good. I felt pretty good analyzing the league. I was like, I called that one. It was funny because like I think it was Scott Stewart on Steal Some Time this week was like, nobody would have said that team. And I was like, I did do that. I said that like 4 weeks ago, baby.
Broken clock is right twice a day.
You listen here, Matt.
But, you know, to that point a little bit, it's kind of funny watching the teams who are trying to, you've got, you know, there's still 2 playoff spots up for bid between Birmingham, Charleston, St. Louis. Memphis technically is still alive, but they're not going to get it. And all of those teams are having a hard time putting a result together. But if you look at the eliminated teams so far, the top 3 eliminated teams in terms of the table, Loudon has won the last 3 in a row. Atlanta United has won 3 of the last 5 and drawn the other 2. Charlotte's won 3 in a row, 3 out of the last 5. They've dropped. Like, they've realized there's no pressure now. They're eliminated. They're having a good time. You know, they're playing to.
Okay. Let me interject here. It's not that.
It's part of it.
These are guys that are desperately trying to play onto a roster next season.
Yeah, they're playing for next season.
That's what it is. There's tons of pressure because these guys.
Yeah, it's a different kind
of
pressure. It's not
players.
It's individual instead of team pressure.
Yeah, because every one of those guys know that at the end of the year they may be unemployed. It's not there's not a guaranteed roster spot for somebody to land in. They can be very well unemployed, and some of those guys' careers might be ending.
I mean, Andrew Carlton's probably going to be okay.
Well, yeah, but like
if nothing else, he can come play for us after all the work he's done for us this season.
Yeah, but like a Dominic Adoro at Charlotte may or may not get re-signed anywhere next year. He's got no guarantees right now. If assuming, of course, that's like this is his last year in Charlotte in general. But there's tons of individual pressure on every one of these players to keep performing and to do as best as they can to play onto a thing. So you can't take anybody lightly. Because everybody's future is always in jeopardy. And probably more so in a league like ours, where basically the whole league basically signs 1-year contracts. Everybody plays on the edge of a knife. And that's what makes the competition so interesting for a lot of the teams that we play in teams like USL. And I think that's... It is what it is. But, yeah, so I... Like I said, I called Loudon being a sleeper team many moons ago. I knew that they were going to shock some teams. I'm a little surprised there's more than just them, but
yeah.
Hey.
So here's the current up to the second table. Pittsburgh Riverhounds first place, 65 points. Oops, hang on here 1 second. They will play. Oh, this always takes forever to load. I should just do. They will play at Birmingham to finish off their season on. Is it Sunday? Nashville, they're one of those playing on Sunday that we'll already know. Nashville, 64 points, 1 point back, and will finish up. I think we said they're going to. Yeah, they're hosting Atlanta United too. Now here's something interesting. Nashville needs to at least get a result from that. Well, preferably win. They're a point behind Pittsburgh, they have 1 more win. They have 3 more goals in the goal difference column. If they can get a win, they can hop to first place. They're going to play their last game without their head coach, who is suspended. Be interesting to see. And against an Atlanta United club that has pulled off some interesting results at times. Indy is currently playing their final game of the regular season. They're done after tonight.
Yeah.
Until the playoffs. So they're looking to lock up their spot. We are currently in fourth. By 1 point ahead of Red Bulls 2, And Louisville's in sixth on the wins tiebreaker. Like I said, if Red Bulls can lose tonight, we can lock up fourth with a win on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Because we're 1 point ahead of them right now, and if we win, then they would have no chance to catch us in the wins. Also, Louisville would not have a chance to catch us in overall points because they're sitting on 57 also with a game to go. North Carolina, 53 points in seventh place. Ottawa, 52 points in eighth place. Those are your teams that have locked up playoff spots. Birmingham currently, by the wins, overall wins tiebreaker, with 43 points in ninth place. Charleston with 43 points but two fewer wins. Leading, I believe they're up to 2-0. Yeah, 2-0 over Memphis right now. If they win this game, Memphis will be eliminated, and we'll just be down to one or two more teams trying to get into that spot. St. Louis currently sitting on the outside with 42 points, one game to go. They would have the tiebreaker advantage in overall wins over Charleston, but not Birmingham. If they get a win this weekend, because they're already on 11. Charleston has 10. They'll go to 11 tonight. It's looking like there's about 5 minutes left in that game. They have a two-goal lead. So St. Louis would need a result. It would need a win just because a draw will not get them where they want to on points. Charleston still has one more game, I think, coming up after this, too, and Birmingham. And we're not going to worry about the rest. Memphis technically alive, but that's going to be done in about 6 minutes. Getting hectic near the end of the year here, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. It's
getting hectic. We'll see. I'll say some of this for the Hartford preview. So, Randy Gainforth is our executive producer tonight. Sent him a message earlier in the week, said hit me up with some info, some questions, some thoughts, some topics. He gave us a couple.
Hey, yes, he did.
Yeah, and pretty good ones, I would think. First one, consistency in playing fields across the league. Now, part of this whole, you know, Division II standard set out by U.S. Soccer and then the USL's standards for sanctioning requires stadiums with a minimum seat, like minimum number of seats for players, a pitch within FIFA regulation sizes, but there is nothing in there about the type of surface. Which, you know, and you still have teams, and some teams end up like having, like, Indy has already announced they're going to be playing home playoff games at Carroll Stadium, their previous home, before swapping over to Lucas Oil Field. I'm sure probably because maybe they didn't budget the possible cost of home playoff games at renting that stadium, and also because some of these games might get played on Sundays. The window is like, the dates aren't set except for the final. There's windows for them, and they obviously can't have a Sunday game that conflicts with the Indianapolis Colts, but there is no standard for playing surface. And, you know, we talked about Segra Field up in Loudoun, and we've made our jokes about Slugger and hopefully never have to go back there. Is that the next step as USL evolves, is to start to prescribe certain types of surface, whether it's you know, an all grass or a specific kind of turf field? Or is that something where you're still going to, you think, and you know, there's teams coming in every year. There's teams dropping out at different times, moving on to MLS or dropping down to League One. Is it feasible to think that's a point that the league can get to where they have a specific required surface? Not necessarily everybody's either on all grass or all turf, but you've got some kind of set, whether if you have a grass field, it's like this. If you have a turf field, it's like this.
No. MLS doesn't do it for a reason. It's not feasible with the budgeting of every team to be able to do a unified standard for surfaces and things of that nature. That's decade. That could be a decade away. I mean, I don't see that being feasible at any time in the near future, just because it's expensive to run grass fields. That's an ideal situation that not even MLS has been able to satisfy yet. So why would we think that USL would be able to do it anytime in the near future?
I'd like to. I need to find some way to rent the Ryo OKC field out every week to somebody.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Just travel.
Yeah, I get
someone just travels the country installing that at some of these very poor locations.
Yeah, I mean it's ideal. I mean it's
red card to Birmingham.
It actually, there's an interesting story on that. It was actually originally issued as a yellow card. There was a breakaway down the kind of right center of the pitch. And Culbertson came in and did a little trip on the back feet right before the New York Red Bulls player made it into the box. And so the referee called the foul, originally gave a yellow, then consulted with the AR, who was right in front of the play, and then changed it to a red.
Defend, defend, defend.
Yeah. One of those, you got to have a good definition of dog so to find out whether that's valid or not. But,
right.
You know, I mean, it was a pretty clean breakaway that he was going to be on. So it is what it is, because he was about to enter the box and he was all alone.
Right. About 2 minutes to halftime. Maybe they can regroup. We're counting on you, Birmingham. We're big fans.
Game, but that's,
as big fans and people who have never said an unkind word about the city or club in Birmingham, we're rooting for you guys.
Yeah.
Anyone who says otherwise is lying. All right. So a standardized surface would be nice.
It's
probably
an ideal
unlikely
to shoot for, but it's probably 10 years away, I would think.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think it's probably 10 years away before we see anything like that.
All right. One of the things, I don't know that it gets a lot of attention, but it's something we all know that exists, especially in some of the league. You know, everyone's got their European League team or their South American League. But all these other leagues and competitions, it seems like for the most part, I don't think MLS does it, though, there's prize money. You know, there's the prize money for Open Cup for the lower division teams from each league that goes the farthest. And there's money for winning the Open Cup. As far as we know, I think we've asked this to league officials before. I know we did with NASL. There's no prize money in the playoffs. There's no prize money for the final. Why not? Does there need to be, do you think, in the first place?
Nah, I don't think so. From what I understand, I would be surprised if it's not written into individual player contracts.
Yeah, it might be a contractual thing, but there's not a fund the league's doling out.
This is a hard subject to talk about in general, because we don't know what really any of these players make as far as salaries go. Salaries are completely private to all of the individual clubs. Contract lengths are entirely private to individual clubs. So,
now,
it's kind of a difficult question to answer in some ways because, okay, sure, maybe the league doesn't, but that's not to say that they probably can't get funds or can't get bonuses
right
for each round of the playoffs you make it into or whatever, because I'm sure I would think that they probably do. There's probably individual metrics. I mean, think about it. They do the same thing with all the other major sports. You have individual metrics.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass, you know, for 40 touchdown passes in a year, then you get an extra bonus at the end of the season or whatever. And then there's an extra bonus for 50 and whatever. But, you know, so I imagine the same thing is true here, that there's bonuses for goals scored if you're a striker, things like that. So I would imagine. But again, we're not privy to those details. The clubs, it's one thing that bothers me about lower division soccer in America is that we have no idea what anybody makes.
Is that going to change next year with the union? Because MLS's player union publishes the salary information every year.
I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to say this from the heart. I really, 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 really hope so. And here's the reason why. I talk to people all the time that are not soccer fans, that don't really care about anything, or people that are soccer fans and don't go to Rowdy's games at all. One of the leading questions I get, are these guys even paid?
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
They
I'm
are paid.
You,
we know that part.
If you follow the team closely, you know. You know they get paid. Everybody knows these guys get paid. They're
right.
Not playing for free, and they haven't played for free in 10 years. Everybody knows these guys get paid. If you've been watching this team and going to games, you already know the answer to that question. But if you don't go to games right now and you're living in the Tampa Bay area, your first question is, are they, do they even make any money playing this or doing, playing for the Rowdies or doing that? Like, do they even get paid, or is it semi-pro, or is it amateur? There is thousands, I would argue there are thousands of people in the Bay Area that might be more interested in this team if they actually knew there was a budget for player contracts. Like, if they knew that, say, somebody was making like six figures in a year, that would raise some eyebrows, I think, in this area. And so, and not to mention, that would change the entire ball game of how the off season goes in terms of like media outlets and fan engagement, because now suddenly everybody can now talk about roster building. Hey, this player's making X and X money over on this team, and he did pretty good. I bet we could fit him in over at a decent budget here. Whatever. Granted, there's no salary caps, but I can at least external set that everybody knows. I mean, there's been arguments that there's some internal ones, but either way.
But then there's the knowledge out there that, hey, this is, you know, if we want to try and get this guy in the offseason, or if we want to try and work a trade, here's where it's got to be. Or, you know, maybe if we can't match the salary, we can juice up the perks, the benefits, the opportunities for outside income.
Let's be honest. It would put an immense amount of pressure on every front office in USL Championship if they suddenly announced or made some degree of salaries public. Because you got to remember, these guys are competing. It's second division American soccer. These guys, to get any of these players here, are competing with literally the entire world.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody that's coming out of college right now that's of that age, or somebody that's playing overseas that's going, man, I really want to come and play for the Ottawa Fury. I can guarantee you there's probably nobody on the planet that's really, really edging to play for like St. Louis FC. No offense, Luligans. No offense, you know, the guys up there. Oh, by the way, Birmingham just scored a second goal.
Whoa!
Hello.
Yes!
I figured I'd drop that little tidbit right in the middle of that.
That's
exciting.
I have never wanted to have a sound recording of the mob doing the yes chant any more than right now, and I could just hit a button on the stream deck over here. Just yes, yes, yes. In less enthralling news, the Charleston-Memphis game has gone to a final. Charleston's won 2-0. The USL standings page hasn't updated just yet, but I believe that will eliminate Memphis from the playoffs. I mean, yeah, it totally will, because they would have had to win both games and get some help also. So they're out. Oh, man. That's a big second goal for Birmingham.
You get really excited right now. You can't even think.
That in first half stoppage, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're well into stoppage time. It was a free kick. There was a foul in front of the touchline, right in front of the bench.
Okay.
Caused a big scrum as far as coaches arguing the call and whether it should be yellow card, red card type stuff like that. So we already had 4 minutes of stoppage assigned. We were into the fifth minute of stoppage time, and Birmingham just lobbed one into the box.
Well, and
keeper never came out. So the ball went far post. Birmingham won that header, went back into the 6 yard box.
Ooh, there
on the opposite far post at that point. And a header finished, on that goal. So, yeah, it was kind of just a hope and a prayer, and it two headers in a row, and
yes,
bam, you're up 2-0.
Yeah, the USL match center page. It was like the sixth or seventh minute of extra time, according to this, when they got. Man. India has won their game, so they are going to lock up the third place spot, which we felt like was what was going to happen.
To nobody's surprise whatsoever.
All right, so let me refresh this real quick, because I believe this is going to have Indy officially locked in the third. Yeah, Indy finishes with 63 points. Indy and Swope Park are the first two teams to finish the regular season slate. There are two spots and three teams not eliminated yet, so it's just down to Birmingham, Charleston, and St. Louis for those last two spots. At the current table, man, that's a pretty looking sight right now. Birmingham, ninth place, 12 wins, 43 points. Charleston, 10 wins, 43 points. That's including the games currently in progress. So,
good times.
The Indy result was icing, but the Birmingham result of this hold is going to be the cake. But New York. They're capable of scoring goals. I gotta believe. You know, I was going to say with a one goal lead, it's hard to come out there and play prevent defense the entire second half. But leading 2-0, Birmingham's got to bunker down that second half, don't they?
This is exciting. Oh yeah, they're going to have to.
I mean, they're going to go buy an extra bus at halftime, sub it on for one of the players.
Pretty much.
I mean, they're going to be playing. You're going to have one in goal, maybe nine. Well, no, because they've got the red card. So one in goal, eight defenders and a forward is what's going
right.
to be.
All right, so there was your breaking news interjecting moment into where we are with the league. So
this is like transfer deadline day live over here.
I know, right? That's a great analogy for what's going on right now. All right, so we do have one more topic that Randall did want to ask us.
Although I do want to just one more thing about two things. One thing I meant to mention way back in the recap of the last game. Mm-hmm. So we like mentioned Leo was subbed off early with an injury. Taku came on, played very well in the game. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to play one on the internet. I don't have any inside knowledge, but I'm just going to say that when I left the stadium Saturday night, I saw Leo walking what looked to be comfortably back to his car. No ice, no bandage, no boot or anything. We'll wait and see. But I think he's good to go. Or will be good to go by the time the weekend rolls around, I hope at least. Yeah, the Birmingham fans are not very happy over here. That's a new one. This is the Magic City Brigade Twitter post. Wow, that's a new one to us. Give a yellow card. Wait until the free kick is about to be taken and then change your mind and give a red. Truly out of the box awfulness from pro referees. I mean,
oh hey,
I don't put anything
way.
Past them.
Somehow or another, that goal got called back for Birmingham.
Wait, what?
I don't even know how that happened, because obviously I don't have audio right now. But, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what the story is there. Maybe an offsides. Huh.
Do not like.
That's fascinating.
Let's see what happens. I'm reloading the Match Center page, because it went to 2-0 and said, boom, halftime. So I'm seeing if they've updated this here.
Yeah, because when the broadcast cut out, they still had 2-0 on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
But all the Twitter feeds are definitely 1-0. And our friend in Louisville who listens to the show very honorably was letting us know, too. So we appreciate that. Thank you, Patrick.
Do not want.
Anyways, we have one more topic, and then we wanted to go ahead and quickly preview Hartford, which you could have saved the injury news for Hartford. But anyways.
Yeah, actually, I think I was, now that I think about it, I think I was meaning to in the first place. But there we go. We like to throw good news in there. But going back to the second topic here, this is why you get a sponsor.
Yeah.
A sponsor for the league. And I don't know who you would pair up with USL. Publix apparently only wants to sponsor teams that are not in Florida after... After telling us in the Striker several times that they were only involved with youth soccer, despite the fact that they are Birmingham's sub-sponsor. Anyway, just ranting about that. I'd like to see it happen. I mean, at least give the, you know, because I think right now it's just the clubs get it in the leagues to do this. Find some way to split it between the clubs and the players. A little extra incentive. Every little bit helps.
Assuming it doesn't exist already, because we wouldn't, I don't know if we would.
It doesn't. I mean, I know when we joined the league, we asked about it, and there was no, I haven't heard anything about that changing. All right, also interested in why farm teams for MLS are still in the premier division of USL.
Mostly because that was the whole reason why they joined USL in the first place many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, not to belittle what the question is. But
right.
Like that was legitimately the reason why they exist in USL in the first place, was they... A lot of the reserve depth players were playing in MLS Reserve League, which was like this really shady, weird, like every game closed door thing that, like, I mean, legitimately, like you would play the MLS game on Saturday and then like on Sunday afternoon, the bench players would play in the quote unquote Reserve League. And it wasn't developing anybody. It wasn't working. So that was why they came up with the partnership. And here's the thing, some background on this. If you rewind to 2011 and 2012, the NASL was actually negotiating with MLS to have their reserve teams play in NASL
right.
at one point.
That fell apart, and USL scooped it up. And I mean, yes. that's as much
and
as we don't like all
do
these teams,
the
that's what has put USL in the position they're in today.
Yep. And a lot of that has to do with the Cosmos. When the Cosmos really came into the league and really started discussing joining the league, it was basically them saying, we're not going to join if you don't drop the whole MLS negotiation.
Yeah.
From what I understand of that situation, that's how that developed. So this was always a possibility, whether we had stayed in the old league or gone in the new one. Like, that was always something that's been on the table for a long time. But again, them joining the USL for their two teams, their development teams, that was the whole reason. That's one of the reasons why the USL is in the position that it is right now as a league, is because of that negotiation. And I'm going to be honest, I'm okay with it. Here's the reason why I'm okay with it. Reserve teams in other countries are allowed to play in the lower divisions of that nation's pyramid.
Right. They just can't be promoted to the same division as
you just
as
can't
the
get
parent
promoted
club.
To the same one. Now, in all fairness, it's not very common that those reserve teams get promoted to second division.
Right.
But so usually they're further down on the pyramid, but they could technically get to second division, and there's nothing stopping them from doing so. It's just a matter of form and results. So to me, it's not a big deal. Is it kind of disappointing how many teams there are? Yeah, but if you develop USL League One, maybe you introduce the idea of Pro Rel between the two USL divisions, and maybe that might help weed it out a little bit. Because I'm not going to sit here and say that New York Red Bulls doesn't deserve to be in a second division team running a second division outfit.
Yeah,
because they do.
There's a lot of the two teams or the B teams that are just we're here just for straight development. Results are a secondary concern. There's the issue about they've got minimal attendance. They have a hard time sometimes even finding a place to play unless they start playing on off weekends at the home team's field. But they're just empty caverns at that point. But yeah, teams like, and if you look at it right now, well, I mean, it's official now. The only two team in the East that's going to be in the playoffs is New York Red Bull. I'd argue that Bethlehem Steel, the Phillies B team, they run it a similar style as far as they want to get the results. It hasn't worked out for them. But last year they were a playoff team. I think they are a good example of it. But like your Atlanta United twos, your future Sporting KC twos, the Whiz Kids, whatever you want to call them, it's just so. Like, let's be honest, the real reason we say we don't like these teams is because we don't like the possibility of losing to these teams.
Yep, exactly.
Which
I think that's a lot to do with it.
Losing to Loudoun feels bad because it's like, now I would like to see, and this was something I was going to bring up a week or two ago. We were talking about something else. Who is it that's, it's DC. It's a DC United or no, New England Revolution starting their B team in USL League One.
Yep.
So, and there's been some movement, like Richmond dropped down, Orlando dropped down, Toronto FC 2 dropped down. There'll probably be, there's hints about some others dropping down in the off season.
And imagine if you have Prowell and you have a team like Madison earn their way into USL championship and you can drop a team like Swope Park. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be nice. what I would like to see going forward now that League One's been established and it's, it's finding its footing. I know, the news came out that, Lansing United's going to, or Lansing Ignite, whatever they're called, are going to close up shop after this season. I guess their season's over now. They lost in the playoffs. So they're still, you gotta build the foundation there. But once that's a viable, and to an extent it is right now, a viable league, if an MLS team is going to start a two team, I would like to see them be forced to start in League One regardless of their intentions. If they want to run just a strict development team and they've got a roster full of some young kids or some fringe players they want to send down and get playing time, fine, do it there. If they're trying to run a program like Red Bulls where their intent is to develop by going head-to-head with some of these bigger clubs and getting results, fine, but you have to demonstrate that intent. You can't just say this is what we want to do. You've got to demonstrate that at the League One level for maybe two or three seasons. You know, show them, maybe put some restrictions on them as far as, you know, you're not just going to load your roster up with teenagers. You've got to bring in, you know, there are tons of kind of these Division II, Division III journeymen who kind of hop around from team to team. Maybe you say you've got to have three or four of them on a roster. You've got to have some, you know, not that you have to have, that you have to win the league, but you have to demonstrate you know, somehow between the guys you bring on the team, the way you run the club, before you could be considered as joining the championship, even if it's not through a pro rel kind of system, if it's just through a, okay, you've done it, you've shown that you're willing to put the time and effort and the money into it to run this like a club, which I'd argue Red Bulls and Bethlehem probably do. Atlanta, I don't think is that interested in running that kind of thing. It wouldn't surprise me to see Atlanta drop down, although I don't think they've mentioned it or have said that they're open to it. But it kind of seems like it would be a good spot for them. The affiliate stuff, I don't mind. You know, like Ottawa is Montreal's affiliate. I think those relationships can be good. You've got players that need playing time. You've got some teams that can get them. It's a good way to kind of set it up for them. But I don't know if every team needs it. Like, I know, you know, a lot of our fans would not be as excited about the possibility. We definitely know it wouldn't be with one particular team. Not advocating for it, but I'd prefer that kind of situation, the affiliate setup, better than just an entire B team. Although, kind of part that gets overlooked a lot, or at least not mentioned as much, as this is where coaches develop too. It's not just players getting playing time and getting minutes. It's coaches practicing, you know, developing their management in game, that kind of stuff. So it's not my favorite situation, I guess. One of my favorite aspects of the league, but it beats still being an NASL, I guess.
Yes, because at least we're playing.
So there's that. Any other thoughts on that part?
No, I'm good. I settled my case. We're all good.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that.
Yes.
And thank you for the support, as always, also.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hartford preview. You want to run through this?
Yes. Okay. So, Hartford, the terrible Hartford Barracuda. They are coming into this last game of the season 7 wins, 21 losses, and 5 draws. Yeah, they suck. We're looking at a home record in Hartford of 5 wins, 7 losses, and 4 draws. They are 1-3-1 in their last 5. The Rowdies absolutely ate their souls 4-0 on April 6th. Their leading goal scorers have less than half, I think, of what we do. Angula and Walshick have 6 apiece, and Delgard and Dixon have 5 apiece. Swartz also has scored 4 goals.
It takes like 3 of those guys to almost equal what Guinzotti's done.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Assists wise, 3 guys have 4 apiece: Barrera, Dixon, and Walshick. So obviously, we're seeing a trend there with some of those names. Shots taken: Angulo has 45. Jorgensen has 38, and Dixon has 37. And then, of course, chances created. Barrera has created 42, Williams has created 30, and Jorgensen has created 27. On the goalkeeping side of things, this is laughable. They've only had 1 clean sheet, and it's Cody Cropper in net earning that clean sheet on the season. They're conceding a whopping 2.4 goals per game. They're only averaging 46% possession. So it's not even like teams are bunkering against them. Nah, they're not nothing. they are only scoring a goal on average only about every 63 minutes looks like what we're looking at here. Of the goals they've scored this year, only 9 of them have come from outside the box, keeping in mind that's still like double what we've done, which is sad. And they have had one goal from a direct free kick this season. Nothing special about the Barracuda really whatsoever. They have been pretty just awful.
All right, I'm gonna pause to verify this, just because the second half has just started and Match Center. No, it's legit. Birmingham leads 2-0.
I haven't even, since my computer decided to randomly reboot, I haven't had a chance to restart it yet.
1 minute ago, New York Red Bulls 2 tweeted, "We are back." Second half underway. 17 seconds later, goal.
Jeez.
Birmingham Legion.
Jeez.
Yes. Oh, my God. It just went to 3-0 on the Match Center.
Okay, I got to get this thing open up.
Yeah,
this
get the actual video, because I haven't seen, I've got confirmation of the second goal. I have not seen anyone tweet anything about a third goal. Holy crap. Patrick, tell us what's going on.
I know, right? What the heck?
Where are you, Patrick?
I can't believe my computer just like randomly decided to reboot in the middle of a show. Like, that's the weirdest thing.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
happened.
Oh, sorry.
That's happened to me before. We went through
it just,
a streak
like,
of that.
We're just going to decide to end. No, but it's 2-0.
Okay. So I think when the Match Center started up, it was still counting that second goal because it had disappeared like at halftime, like the whole box had. And I think so they just haven't updated that yet. Hmm. All right. Whew. But still, 2-0 is confirmed.
Yeah, no, it is.
No, 3-0. No. Wait, no. Okay,
no,
never mind.
No. I got the game.
Yeah, I pulled up on the Match Center, like on the match individual match page. They have the like play by play, and they had set it on there, but they'd never taken the second goal off on that.
So that
page.
So that second goal was scored in 33 seconds into the second half. Left-footed shot from outside the box went far post on the ground. It megged the defender that was marking the goal shooter, and the keeper had a bad jump on it as a result.
Thank you, Prosper Kasim. I think he's one of the guys that scored against us. So well, it's okay now. It's all under the water under the bridge. We'll take it. Wow. Now they got a bunker,
cool.
Right? Bunker.
So this is cool.
Cool.
I'm glad I got my thing back up.
Cool.
Anyways.
Oh, I got to record that part. Mark the tape.
Yeah.
All right. Prediction time. This is one of those.
Right.
This is a game where, on paper, we should win this easy. You said they were like 1-3-1 in their last 5.
Yes,
that,
sir.
That one win was their last game, where they smashed Birmingham 4-0.
Which is kind of scary, actually.
There's talent there. No one's questioning that. But this is a game on paper we should win easily, and we need to play this game on paper. Might be better than the surface. I'm not sure what their pitch is like. Although I think their field is okay.
Actually, that's a good question. Is it turf or grass?
It's turf. It's an outdoor. I mean, it's like an old high school football stadium, I think. Let me look it up real quick and see.
Dillon Stadium.
Wait, isn't that from Friday Night Lights?
What?
Clear eyes, full heart. And wasn't that Dillon? I mean, Dillon, Texas, but still.
All I know is that officially speaking, we had this discussion a couple weeks ago about the absolutely stupendously terrible, no good away form on turf record that we have, and continue to just absolutely have the most historically bad turf record ever.
You want the info?
We are officially 0 wins, 3 losses, and 3 draws on turf this season, officially.
Well, you're going to love to hear this then.
Dillon is grass?
Dillon Stadium, surface, seeded grass.
Oh, thank the heavens.
1935 to 2018. From 2019 forward, field turf.
God damn it.
field turf, but brand new. Maybe it's still in decent condition. I don't know.
Oh, this sucks. I have to make a prediction against it on a team that can't win turf if they were given 4 goals a head start.
Ooh, can we get a 4-goal head start? Can we figure that out?
At this point, I feel like we would have to have any chance of winning this game.
4-goal head start, and we just start defenders. That's it.
Freaking field turf. God almighty, let me tell you. All right, I need time to calm down. What's your prediction for that game?
3-1.
What do you think?
3-1 Rowdies. We go into it knowing that's everything revolves around us getting a win. We need help, but regardless of the help only matters if we win. It's do or die time. It's set the table or sit and eat. And finally, damn it, the Rowdies sit and eat. 3-1. Goals from Seba. Lucky. And Poku.
All right. It's worth pointing out, again, we mentioned it earlier in the show, Leo seemed to be okay after this game. So that is good news. It is also worth pointing out that Adoro was in a pretty thick walking boot and walking pretty gingerly, but we were told that he's hopeful to be healthy enough to play for playoffs. I'm not necessary. I'm pretty sure he's going to be out for this week. I think it's a fair bet to say that. From what we understand, everybody else is healthy. I don't know of any lingering injuries besides that of anybody on the team right now, besides those two really at this point.
And also the one thing we haven't mentioned, we didn't talk about discipline report. Now, Guinzotti and Oduro are both still on accumulation warning. Lucky Kosana has been added to it as well. Reason we didn't bring it up is because cards...
We got clarification on things.
Yes, cards reset at the beginning of the playoffs. And if you were on accumulation warning and you receive a card in the last regular season game, a suspension does not occur for the playoff game. The player just pays a fine. So they can go out and get cards. If you get a straight red, or if you get, you know, double, like if you earn a red card in the game, because the discipline report is just about, we might need more clarification now. Discipline report is just about the accumulation, like the stacking up of yellow cards. If you get a double yellow or a straight red in the last game, does that carry over to the playoffs?
It should.
I would imagine.
I'm pretty darn sure about that, actually. Like really, really sure about that one.
We'll talk to our contacts at
the
USL and find out.
I did get some clarification. Leo is pretty heavily 50-50 at best for this weekend. They might rest him, even if it's not necessarily a major injury. It might just be a precaution. Maybe he comes in off a bench, if anything.
Right.
But yeah, his participation this weekend might be pretty doubtful.
Well, and
at this point,
yeah, we want to win and get the home playoff spot, but we have the playoffs locked. Regardless, if he's iffy. I say you hold him out, and you want to have him healthy for the playoffs. You know there's a playoff game regardless. You'll need him for the playoffs regardless.
Yeah.
You know, if it was to get a playoff spot, then that's one thing. Even then, I'm still kind of iffy on it. I always lean towards protecting the players as much as possible. I would if it's iffy, then shut him down.
And you know what? It's okay. We've got plenty of outside midfield depth on this team. We haven't had a chance to use it a whole lot. We haven't really used it a whole lot in general lately. It certainly served us when a lot of people went down earlier this season. So who knows? I mean, there's plenty of options to fill in because Najem is healthy. Barry's healthy. You brought in Taku. There's plenty of choices at this point. So not too concerned about it. Not to say we don't love you, Leo, but there's definitely depth on the team that we can against a team like Hartford, we should freaking win, but it's on turf, so I can't be confident.
We love you too much, Leo. That's what.
This is true. I hate turf so much. Oh my God. I hate turf. I'm going to go the sad route and I'm going to say we struggle to get a 2-1 victory.
A 2-1 victory would be a glorious victory for the fatherland. There is no struggling to any victory. again, the prophet, the philosopher, Dominic Toretto. It doesn't matter whether you win by an inch or by a mile. Winning's winning. And right now, the Rowdies are winning the Birmingham Red Bull game.
So this is week 34. So let's just say welcome to the 34th week of the Hunger Games.
We volunteer St. Louis's tribute.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're about at the hour and a half mark, so let's wrap this up, because otherwise we'll just keep on going and talking our way through the whole Birmingham Red Bull game, and I can't take the tension. We love yous. Who do you got? I think I know who you're going to say, I'm not going to steal it.
Hey, you are not stealing another one from me after giving me the microphone for having my prediction come first. I'm just saying. I'm not going to let you do that again. I am going for Laura and George for their inspirational work on the TIFOs year and again this weekend. They are unbelievable. Besides the fact that they're unbelievable people, big hearts, and amazing human beings, they are incredible artists, and they've led that effort time and time again, and that was another masterpiece this weekend. So they are, that's my We Love You for today.
All right. That reminds me, we were talking about it at the Shamrock the other night. If we clinch a home playoff spot, there will be a impromptu two-pole painting party by Skyway. I have a one I've had in mind for Tejada for a while that I will put together and have out there. But you didn't steal mine. I thought we were going to end up going the same one. But yes, yours is definitely good. I'm going to send mine out to Dave.
Yes.
Dave making his return, his glorious Ali-like return to Al Lang Stadium in the team's time of need. It was great to see. I saw a couple pictures of him in the stands cheering and celebrating. I saw him a couple times at the tailgate. I saw him at the at halftime when I'm walking around the concourse. It's good to have Dave back. Dave's been one of the longtime fans and supporters of the show too. So, my We Love You is definitely for Big Dave. All right, thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, and to Shamrock for everything you do for us. I'll be out at Shamrock on Saturday for the watch party. Thank you to you guys for continuing to find time to listen to us, and please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review. If you'd like to support the show on an ongoing basis, go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Want to be an executive producer? That's a $10 a month and up perk, so get your name in. We're getting through our first batch before we start heading back to ask people for more content. So more people we have in there, the nicer it will be. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Thank you to the Birmingham Legion so far, hopefully. Just missed a shot, too high, right-footed shot from outside the box. 30 minutes to go. It's definitely squeaky bum time. Thank you, Steven, for being here as always. I will talk to you sometime soon. We'll be back here next week.
Yes. And remember, we will be back next week.
A home
we're
playoff
have a
win.
Playoff episode next week.
Playoff special.
It's going to be playoffs.
Now, next Wednesday will be the play-in games, won't it?
And we are definitely not playing in one of those. That's
yes.
important to note.
That's
we
a, yeah.
Cannot,
that's, we can finish.
We cannot finish in seventh place. We will finish higher than that. So we will definitely
fourth, fifth, or sixth,
not
we're
be
definitely
playing
out of
next
there.
Week.
Yes. We won't be playing twice next week.
Well,
because it's Wednesday and then Saturday.
Saturdays.
Yeah. But we'll keep an eye on those games too and see who ends up in there. We'll if we finish where we think we will, we'll know our opponent. The play-in games won't really matter to us, but we'll know future opponents. The only other date that's really set, and we like hinted at it earlier, USL Cup will be on Sunday, November 17th, aired live on ESPN2. Oh, and now this isn't going to be...
Oh, and for what it's worth, I've already reserved the weekend off for some extra vacation time just
so
to make sure.
Here's how interesting that
I'm
week
just
could
saying.
Be. Here's
I'm
how,
just saying.
Here's how interesting that week can be, especially if things go our way. the U.S. women play in Jacksonville the Saturday before on the 10th. Sunday the 10th, they play in Jacksonville against Sweden. It'll be one of the first games with whoever the new head coach is. Looks like it's going to be Vlatko from NWSL coming in and taking over is what it sounds like. Then that Friday, the U.S. men, who really, honestly, besides don't really deserve a lot of mentioning, will be playing the return match of last night's debacle against Canada in the West Central Florida Aztec Stadium. I have tickets for that one. I will likely get tickets for the Jacksonville game. We could end up with three major games in Florida in 1 week if things go well, because, and this isn't going to be totally up to date, if we win, especially if we win on Saturday, we will lock in, I believe it's either second or third spot overall when it comes to hosting the USL Cup final. Phoenix is in first. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick.
Let's put it this way. We're going to have like 60 points by the end of the season if we win this weekend.
We win, we'll be at 61, will be a club record.
And everybody in the West outside of Phoenix is down in the 50s somewhere.
Yeah, so, I think we're 1 point ahead of Fresno at this point. Fresno, Reno are close behind. We're in there. Hold on, I have the tweet saved over here. Let me find it real quick.
I mean, the bottom line is the odds are really good if we get to the finals and it's not Phoenix, we're going to host.
Because I'm going to put my
pretty straightforward.
I'm going to throw in a hot take before we go.
Are you doing a Western Conference hot take?
Western Conference hot take, Klaxon.
It's a Western Conference hot take. Sun Yu substitute moment.
Phoenix will lose in the first or second round of the USL playoffs.
Okay, you have to put that on the Twitter and start lighting up Western Conference Twitter feeds with it.
Yeah. All right, so here we are. Here is. Oh, no, we're not. We can't be second because we're freaking probably fourth in USL.
Would you hurry up? It's 9:32 already.
When I'm talking, I can take all the time I want. We only go short. We only cut people off when we're trying to stop you from talking. All right, so first is Phoenix. Then Pittsburgh, Nashville, Indy, us, and Reno. So if we advance to the final, and like I predict, Phoenix goes out, we'd be hosting. And that would be a fun week of soccer in Florida.
That is.
I will go to all three of those games just to say that I did it.
Yeah, right? Women's game, men's game, and USL championship all in the same 7-day stretch.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
West coast of the state, middle of the state, east coast of the state. We'll reverse that as far as like the order they go in. That'll be fun.
That's an interesting week. It's cool to live in Florida.
All right. Let's
we live where you vacation. Sorry.
There was something else I was going to bring up, a Florida man story I saw. Oh, no, I won't do that one. All right, there's plenty. All right, we'll be back next week talking about the previewing the home playoff game. We'll have to get a it's happening. Well, I was going to say we'll have to get the opposition people on, but that means New York, and I don't know if they even have like, well.
Oh, we'll find somebody.
We'll have somebody on to talk about something.
Exactly.
And I want a home game, but if it was it came up. We were talking Saturday post game, like how no one wants a New York hosting a playoff game because it means like Montclair State. And I was like, I know one person that's okay with New York hosting the game, and that's going to be Jake because he would get to go and see a Rowdies playoff game. So, unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't happen. 65 minutes, still 2-0. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you for bearing with us. Go Birmingham. Go Rowdies. Go away, New York. We'll see you later.
Go Rowdies and bring on the playoffs.
The Rowdies were there, the Rowdies were there, they get along.